We're at 12 o'clock. Hello and welcome to the last and final Q&A support call for the Live the Anti-Inflammatory Lifestyle Fundamentals in Ottawa, live spring 2017. So this is our graduating call. We had our graduating class a few days ago. So today I have a few questions. I'm going to start by answering, and then I have a few parting words, and that's it. So if anyone's on live, I'm going to open the chat. You can just type messages there or speak. Okay, so I have a question here. So I was wondering about eventually reintroducing foods into the diet. How long should we wait? So this depends. So we have removed, you know, sugar, gluten, and dairy, and we've learned a lot about inflammatory and anti-inflammatory foods and the type of proteins and fats and how to supplement and all that. So it really depends on what's going on when we say how long you should wait. So if you still are having symptoms, let's say you have fatigue, you have other skin rashes, you still have a lot of inflammation somewhere in your body, your body's telling you that you're not done. You have to probably dig deeper, because what we've done here is just sort of done the 80-20 rule, like what helps most people see improvement. But if you're not seeing improvement, you may need to go deeper, and there may be other stuff going on, which is not that uncommon. So if you're seeing improvements, that's really important. And probably you want to have substantial improvements for about a month. And then when we're going to reintroduce first. So it really depends. There's some of these things that most of us probably should never reintroduce because they're not really serving us, since we learned that they are inflammatory, and why would we want to add fuel to the fire, so to speak. So so like sugars, and she said like honey, gluten, or milk. So for sugars, you know, a small amount, like a teaspoon of honey a day, let's say, but I wouldn't say any more than that, and make sure it's a whole kind of sugar. But you only do sugar when it doesn't have any hooks in you anymore. You don't think about sugar. You don't care about sugar. It's so you really have to be very honest with yourself and see if where you're at. Hi, Donna. So we're just talking about reintroduction of sugar. So you really want to make sure that it doesn't have a grip on you anymore. And a teaspoon of, one of these local honeys, because there could be some benefits, especially if there's allergies, because it will have some pollens from the type of plants that are in your area. So a little bit of, maybe a teaspoon of honey a day that you could put in a salad dressing or to sweeten a drink or something like that. But that would be it. And again, make sure that you're not fooling yourself and think that you're off sugar. Because we never want to reintroduce the refined products, because they don't really have a place in a diet that's anti-inflammatory. And then when it comes to gluten or milk. So gluten, I hope, when we talked about gluten in class 2, and those images I showed you by Dr. Fasano from Harvard, that nobody can really break down gluten. We don't, as humans, we lack the enzyme to completely break down gluten into single amino acids. We always have that big chunk of amino acids that can cause damage. And there's a chemical cascade that occurs when gluten touches the gut lining. It's something called zonulin that opens these like shoelaces. So you have these gaps between the gut lining cells, and gluten cells gets in, and they start a whole other cascade of chemical reactions. So the immune system will basically send some of their killer cells to start doing damage to the gut lining. So I don't really think gluten is really good for for anybody. And it's also, as we get older and as we have to deal with more and more stress in our lives, we're even less able to keep repairing that gut lining. And especially if there's any chronic inflammatory or autoimmune or any other serious health conditions going on right now or in your past, if you've gone off gluten, and with that I mean ideally being naturally gluten-free, I don't really see a reason to go back, because we know with a lot of inflammatory condition, it's a continuous thing to keep that gut lining healed, because that's your barrier between your outside and your inside, and that will trigger your immune system. So I'm not planning to ever reintroduce gluten for that reason, because I much more enjoy, you know, being at the level of health I am today compared to the state of health I had a few years ago when I was still eating gluten, not knowing any better. But now that I know better, I think we have to really, you know, applaud ourselves for having gained this knowledge that a lot of people don't know. And even in the medical profession, a lot of people don't really understand how gluten is really not a suitable food for humans. So gluten I would leave out, and it's even more so if there's any chronic conditions in your past or in your present, and especially autoimmunity. Hope that answers your question. And then with regards to milk, so again, that gut lining is really important. So we want to make sure that it's healed, and it's sort of beyond the scope of this course to get into how to heal it. But you've already started the process with what we've done here. There's more that can be done if you do, you know, a whole protocol to heal the gut lining, but you don't really want to reintroduce things when that barrier is leaky, because then you're going to get proteins that you may not react to if your gut lining is intact, leaking in and triggering the immune system and some potential food sensitivities or food allergies. And if you recall with milk or dairy, we had two kinds of dairy. So it was the A1, which was that mutation that happened about 5,000 years ago, where it's a type of protein that's very allergenic. And the type of cow that produces the A1 milk is those black and white cows, that the Holstein cows that are used basically for all commercial dairy production. So we want to avoid commercial dairy if we're going to try dairy. We want to stick with the A2, which has a much more stable protein that's less likely to trigger, but we still want to make sure that that gut lining has been healed and that our health has significantly improved, so we can be very tuned in, do a very small amount and see what's going on. And the kind of things we're looking at is, you know, obviously physical symptoms, do you get a rash, but also fatigue, headaches, and also mental mood changes. Do you just lose your motivation? Anxiety, depression, and just do a very small amount and do it for a few days, and then you wait. You only do one thing at a time. But that would only be the A2 type dairy, which is from the more ancient types of cow, some Asian cows, and it would be goat and sheep. It's more the artisanal type dairy products. But again, if I would do that, it would more be on a sort of not, maybe not in a daily consumption, but as a special treat sometimes, if you're able to tolerate that. So that's something I wouldn't completely rule out, but extra caution if there's any chronic inflammatory or autoimmune conditions, because we're more sensitive when we have that. So I hope that helps answering those questions. But also to end that question, it's really important to finding joy and pleasure in our lives away from food. And that's often a muscle we have to work, because we're living in a foodie culture where things are very focused around food and to you know, entice the taste buds. Food is a lot of fun and it's very social. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have that, because it is very important. But when it becomes all about these foods that have addictive properties, that goes beyond flavor and texture in the moment, because sugar is as addictive as cocaine or more. And if they fill your heart that you get withdrawal from, you're not going to get withdrawal from, carrots or celery or a nice steak salad, right? But if it's a food that you crave, you may want to try to just be free from that, which is, it's really nice to not need anything on a daily basis. Same thing with the opioid receptors that are triggered from the gluten and dairy. That's why we focus on these foods, because, and also the coffee, because they have addictive properties. And then we can enjoy a lot of foods away from those. So I hope that helps answer that question. Hi, Donna, do you have any questions?
No, I'm good.
Okay, good, good.
I don't have questions. I've just been working too hard to think. I'm busy.
So I just have a few things sort of to end our last Q&A support call that I want you to kind of to take with you to keep the momentum going, because it's really momentum. We often think of things as stagnant or have an image of ourselves that's my future self and that's what I'm aiming for. But, you know, that's really ego way of thinking. You're never going to get there, because even if you reach that body shape or that weight or whatever sort of thing we've put on that, you're going to want something else in the future, right? Because the ego thinking is never satisfied with what you have right now. So it's really about forgetting all about that and really surrendering to what is right now. And it's a really good starting point. And then, yes, the momentum, and really celebrate the progress you've made, and always compare to the past, because if you compare to the future and you feel discouraged, that's a very, it's a feedback loop. I made this progress, but I really want to be over there. And then you go into this chasm of despair. So you really want to compare to where you were 2 months ago when we started. And that's going to be a feedback loop that's going to say, yeah, look what I did. This is really great. And then you'll just keep the momentum going. So be really aware of, in your self-talk, how you are comparing your progress, because we often do, like, how do I feel now compared to that? So make sure you compare towards the past and don't get fooled into comparing towards the future. And often what it means when we do these things that, because it's very mainstream, you know, our culture is built around coffee, sugar, you know, gluten, grains especially, and dairy and all that stuff in all the comfort food, traditional ethnic diets, various combinations of these types of ingredients. So it means a little bit going against the mainstream direction. But it doesn't mean that you can't participate in those things. You just tweak it and really make sure that you include all the spices, and then you can find alternatives and just think outside the box. That's really, the way to do it. And also be ready to hold your own and have agency in your life. So because it's going to be that, you know, good old saboteur is going to show up, maybe as, you know, pressure from family, coworkers, or even, you know, sitting on your own shoulder. But really, if you can hold your own, and not really preaching, but just as you get healthier, you shine your light stronger in a way, and people are going to notice that, and you're going to inspire others, even if you don't say anything. And you don't have to worry about really that part now, because it's really about you taking care of yourself to start. But that's, if you can hold your own, if you can know that you're going to be helping others down the road, that's powerful as well. And also, there's a very fine balance between doing your best and wanting to be your best and not aiming for perfection, because that could be another one of these ego thinking. If I can't do it like perfectly, I'm not going to do it at all. And also always remember that if we have a setback or something, that we always get back on the wagon quickly. You know, fall 7 times, you rise 8. That's that Zen Buddhist saying. That's very true and very important in times when we feel like we kind of fell off the wagon. And really, again, accepting what is. So if you have some health conditions, I have several health conditions going on, and they really, you know, sidelined me for a while, a few years ago. So I had to dig quite deep to find my way out of it. So it's really about accepting what is. And I know there's some of these things I'm going to have to live with for life, but likely. But that's fine. I'm just planning my life around that. I know my limitations and how to pace myself, so I still can get a lot done. And most people are going to have some kind of limitation, whether it's internal or external. It's just accept what is and just do your best from there. And also keep in mind that as we start upgrading our diet and lifestyle, like we talked about cell regeneration and how fast it is in the intestinal tract, all the way from the taste buds in the mouth through the gut lining, that it's like 3 to 7 days we have new cells, which is why our taste preferences change when we get these newbie taste buds, and which is why we can start healing our gut. And but for some organ systems, it can take much longer. They don't renew at all as quickly. And you may have heard the saying that it could take up to 7 years before you're a new person, that all your cells are different from 7 years ago. So as you keep sort of taking in better raw materials to build those cells and tissues, it's, you know, it's going to be a gradual, you know, upgrade of your whole body. But it's going to take years, and it's not like everything's done in 2 weeks. A lot will happen in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, as some of you have noticed. But it's an ongoing thing, and the growth and healing is continuous, and it's really a journey, and that's really, I think, rewarding and curious, because we don't really know what comes, because it also changes how we see ourselves and our thinking and our role in the world as we get healthier. And do you have any comments on all that, Donna, before I keep talking?
No, that's good.
Okay, good. I'm just going to have a sip of water. But also, until recent times, it appeared as, you know, being a citizen of a Western country, we didn't have much to worry about. I think we've all realized, looking at the world politics today, that maybe things aren't as stable as we thought they were not very long ago. So it was easy to sort of just think we had our own little world to deal with. And if we look at the past and all these stories they draw people in, whether it's the Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter, it's always this the hero's journey, you know, against something, you know, that like a resistance, right? So, and I think why we're so drawn to those types of stories, because they resonate very deeply with like archetypal energies that we all experience. And so your hero's journey is really about become aware and not allow yourself to be sort of dumbed down by what you consume. And with consume, I mean beyond what we eat, but also the media we consume, and also obviously the food and what we drink, and also the environment we surround ourselves with, because a lot of the things that are wreaking havoc at our health, and it's often slow and gradual, because if it killed us very quickly, they had to be labeled as toxins, right? But when it's accumulative and in combinations that's never been tested, as is the case with a lot of environmental toxins, I think there are like 80,000 chemicals out there. I shouldn't call them toxins, but chemicals. And some of them, when they are compounded, nobody really knows what goes on. And it may be a different reaction in a child or an older person or a man or a woman. And we're really all guinea pigs in that right now. And there's some worrying trends showing up, especially in the reproductive ages, that it's much harder for women to conceive. And with the increasing rates of autism on the youngest spectrum, and then we have the increased Alzheimer dementia, often starting in not such a old age. It can start, you know, 40 50 60, so it's not really the late onset, it's an early onset that's really increasing. And a world where we have people on both bookends that require so much care is not really sustainable. So it's really about becoming aware and creating those filters I've talked about, so you can consume, you know, with consciousness. And you may feel like you can't do much, but if you gradually shift what you buy and where you buy it from, like supporting local farmers that actually farm in a way that's sustainable, doesn't deplete topsoil, and promotes, you know, diversity. They don't just farm one thing. They have, you know, livestock and vegetables. It's very, you know, it's a very sustainable and healthy way to farm. So you don't get a bunch of, if you have only have livestock and cows, you're going to get these huge piles of manure. You're not going to know what you do with. But if you have vegetables, you just, you know, use it to fertilize your garden. So that's the way it's been done. So, money talks. So shop consciously. And sometimes you have to spend a little bit more, but I think it's worth it. And also if we just buy things, they're going to last, right? So we don't buy things that that are sort of destined for the landfill in pretty quick order. So I think that's more or less what I have on that. Any, Donna, are you still there? I think she may have dropped off. I hear some beeping there. So I just want to remind you that there's a survey about the course coming in, a testimonial. And please, please, please answer with your honest feedback, because this is the course in progress, and I'm well aware that it's not perfect. And getting your feedback will help me help you and others better in the future. And also, I'm working on a new website and a new platform for teaching courses online that's coming soon. I'm doing a lot of that back-end work right now. So there will be I have a program that will be able to capture your testimonial. So if you can be so kind and just write down, you know, what you've learned, what has shifted, and like all those real tangible things when I send out that email, that would be really appreciated. And social proof is really important these days. So, and because I can toot my own horn, but if you say something, and if you actually benefit it, I want you to make something up. So, and also I'm looking for speaking opportunities, and I'm doing lunch and learn talks, and I'm also available for other types of talks on, you know, a bit of a range of topics that you probably know where I live these days. So if your office or your work, or if there's a group or organization you're part of that you think you're interested in what I have to say, please make an introduction. And that goes as well for referrals, if you have any family or friends or anyone you think would benefit from what I do. And I just want to say thank you for showing up and taking action. It's been a real pleasure to be with you and to get to know you and to, you know, to teach this topic with you. And we'll stay in touch. And please, if there are any topics you'd like me to cover, feel free to send me an email. If there's any formats you're looking for, it's a weekend retreat or something, and we can dive a little deeper without distractions into some things. Let me know if that's something you think would be of interest. So again, thank you so much for showing up and taking action and being proactive in your own life. That's how change starts, right? So have a great day and rest of the week, and I hope we connect soon. Bye.